All right, Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, praising you and thanking you, Lord. Help us to just fall down at your feet and worship you, Lord. Help us to have an attitude of worship all the time. God, forgive us that we don't. Forgive us that, Lord, we let our flesh rule us at times. And we fight it, God. Help us, please. Help us to win that battle. Every one of us is struggling with something. God, help us to get victory over that battle. God, I thank you just for the children's voices we hear right now. What a blessing it is to have that, Lord. I thank you for just on Sunday, just as I was looking out, just watching the kids just running around everywhere. God, I love it. I'm thankful they have this place they can come to. They can grow up here, and this can be their childhood. This can be what they remember of it, is growing up around your people and at this church house, God, and I thank you for it. God, help us to live with an attitude of gratitude, that we're always thankful, Lord. And help us to learn from this passage here as we take the next few minutes to learn about being thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We see it starts off in verse 6. Paul, again, I just want to remind us, Paul is writing this from prison. Paul's in prison as he's writing the letter to the Philippians, and the theme of this letter is joy. He's in prison and he's writing about joy. I mean, man, if that doesn't convict you right there. I mean, we complain about so many things, myself included, and it's just, why don't I just be joyous? Why aren't I just grateful for what God has given me? And I praise God that we have Thanksgiving every year, because it's a reminder to me to be thankful. Because I'm not naturally good at that. I'm not. And I like that my wife does every year. She takes the time, and it takes her quite a while, but she traces out a bunch of leaves and she cuts them out and she puts them there for us. And I think I'm a couple days behind, so I need to jump back on that. But what we're supposed to do is a leaf of thankfulness every day, and we will number it and write something we're thankful for. It can be any little thing. It doesn't matter. It can be, I'm thankful for the air we breathe. I'm thankful for the sun. I'm whatever it may be. I'm thankful that, you know, someone smiled at me, or it doesn't matter what it is. Just anything we can be thankful for. And we just need to remember to be thankful. And she does that every year, and we put it up on our, we first start on our door and we fill up our door, and by the end of November it ends up covering, going onto the wall. But just to remember to be thankful, because we're not naturally thankful. Most of us aren't. Some people are. But like 99.99999% of us aren't, okay? There's that 0.00001 person that is, okay? But for the most part, we're not. We forget, because whatever, we're busy or we have so much, we're just ungrateful. And God wants us to be thankful. And Paul is joyous and he's thankful even in prison. And those are some pretty bad circumstances. If you've read through Acts and you've seen some of what he went through and the beatings that he took. And by the way, prison back then was not like prison today. They didn't get 3 square meals. They didn't have everything they wanted, heat and coolant and air conditioning and all that stuff and weights and you know, computer time and all these things that they give them. They didn't have any of that. I mean, in the summer you were burning up in a dungeon, and in the winter you were freezing in that same dungeon. And they wouldn't take good care of you. They'd barely feed you 1 meal a day, if that. It was nothing like we have today. And Paul, in the midst of that, is joyful, and he's challenging this church here at Philippi to be thankful, to have joy. And he starts it off in this passage anyway. He says, be careful for nothing. You know what that means? He says, stop worrying. Stop worrying. And I've always likened this, because it uses language we don't really use so much today, but it says, be careful for nothing. What does it mean to take care, to be careful? Aren't we supposed to be careful? And what he's talking about is, don't worry about every little thing. Stop worrying about things. Be careful for nothing. Aren't we just so prone to just worry and worry and worry and worry? The way I liken this verse would be like, imagine if you're thrown into this room, and as soon as you walk in, they shut the door and you're locked in this room. And everywhere on the floor, you see mouse traps and you're barefoot. Whole room's just filled with mouse traps, set and ready to... Has anybody ever gotten anything smashed in a mouse trap? Not when you set it on there gentle and just feel the pressure. I mean when it's just whap! And those things move quick. Now you're in that and you're barefoot. And the only way out is the door on the other end of the room. Now if you're going to get through that room, you're not just going to take off running. I mean, you can if you're like that foolish. But most of us aren't. We're going to kind of watch every step we take, and we're going to worry about every move we make, and we're going to be very careful and just tippy-toeing and making sure we don't set one of those traps off. You're going to worry about every move you make. And that's what God is saying. Be careful for nothing. Don't live like that. Don't worry about everything. I mean, some of us worry about things we have no control over, to the point it drives us insane. I mean, we're getting headaches, we're getting neck aches and cramps in our neck, and it's just causing all these problems, these massive headaches, because we're worrying about things we cannot change. And God is saying, stop, be careful for nothing. So what's the solution for a Christian? Because what the world wants to do, the world is going to treat our symptoms and not ever get to the root of the problem. You go tell a doctor, you're saying, I'm stressed out, I'm worrying about things. They're going to try and dope you up and give you drugs to treat a symptom. Well, here, take these muscle relaxers. Oh, you can just sleep at night and it'll just relax you, and you're still worrying about it. All they dealt with was a symptom.
Right.
The main problem's still there. You go in and your like main artery's bleeding, you're bleeding out, and they're like, here's a Band-Aid. I mean, that's what they do. They're just treating a symptom that's not going to help. The problem is still there. So you go back and you're like, this isn't enough. They'll give you more. Give you stronger pills. This is the world's way of dealing with things. Let's just, you know, push it under the rug. Let me pretend it's not there. Just hear no evil, see no evil, la, 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 la. You know, it's just going to be there. But that's not what God says for a Christian. And look, I get it. We all worry about things. This is why God said this. Because He knows we're prone to worry about things. And all of us do, so we need the reminder to say, wait a minute, okay, hold on. I got to stop worrying about these things. I got to stop letting this destroy me, because that's what it does. You know, when we're worrying about something, that's a lack of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. Because if we're worrying about it, we're not trusting God. That's what that shows within each of us. And we've all been there where we're worrying about things that we shouldn't be worrying about. And God's answer for the Christian is given in this verse. He says, be careful for nothing but. So let me give you the answer. But in everything. He doesn't say in the really big things. You handle the little things, I'm going to take care of the really big things. He says, but in the really big things. No, he says in everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. God says, come to me for everything. The simplest, you think, this is so silly. And many of us will think, you know, we maybe hear about, you know, martyrs that are suffering for the faith right now and they're in prison. And, you know, we think, well, how silly of me to pray for a parking spot or to pray for, you know, this little silly situation that I'm in that, you know, I'm having a hard time. You know, maybe it could be anything. I'm getting a bill that I already paid and they're still trying to charge me for it. How silly of me to be praying for something that little when, you know, there's people that are really suffering and really going through some stuff and are in prison and getting beaten for the faith right now. How silly of me to pray about this. I'm not worthy to pray about that when there's real needs out in the world. You know what? How big is God? It doesn't matter. You don't have to be in a prison for God to hear you. You don't have to be in a prison to worry about something and say, wait a minute, I need to take this to the Lord. Don't diminish what you're going through. I get it. Yes, there's various levels and degrees of suffering or worry, whatever, that people may be going through. But, hey, look, if you're worrying about it, give it to God. Take it to Him in prayer. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, God says, bring it to me. I don't care what it is. I don't care how little it is, how big it is. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Got a situation going on in your family, or I don't know what to do. God says, bring it to me.
Right.
Bring it to me. You got a problem going on at work with a coworker, you say, I don't know what to do. God says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. You're like, my kids are driving me crazy. I don't know how to fix this. God says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. I can think back to when Isaiah was just about, 2 years old. And man, this kid has an iron will. Iron will. I mean, that thing is just doesn't bend. Iron will. And we were at our wit's end and we just started praying, God, you got to show us. We need help. God, help us. And God showed us. But we prayed earnestly and we were seeking answers and we were listening and God showed us and he brought the answer to us, but we didn't know what to do. We were done. We had no idea what to do next. But God says, bring everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, how does God want us to come to him? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. How can I be thankful? I just lost my job. How am I supposed to be thankful for that? You know, the greatest story I've heard about that, I don't know, I just saw that book. I think Miss Virginia gave it to somebody. What's it called? The Hiding Place? Is it The Hiding Place? Is that what it is? Was that the book you gave to Andrea or Brianna? I think it was. In that book, there's a story in there, and I may get it kind of wrong. So as you read through it, whoever got it, as you read through it, you can fix me on it. It's been about 7 or 8 years since I read it. But in that story, and I think I've shared it here before, but they get caught hiding Jews. They get thrown into concentration camps. And in one of the camps, they get thrown in. You know, they climb on the bed, and they realize there's fleas crawling all over them. I think it was fleas. I believe it was fleas. Fleas crawling all over them. And they climbed out of the bed and they're just disgusted by it. I mean, they're all over them. The beds are made of straw and they're really only like this much space between them. And it's really just like a square box just stacked on top of each other. So they climbed up to the top one, I think, and climbed to their bunk. And they're just stacked on top of each other in these barracks and just filthy straw in there, infested with fleas. And so they come crawling out and I think one was Betsy, and who's the other one? What's the main lady? I can't remember. Corrie Ten Boom. Betsy was her sister, and Corrie Ten Boom. And Corrie comes out, and she's just mad. I mean, she's angry that she's even going through this, and she's just complaining and complaining. And her sister Betsy says, she's like, let's pray, Corrie. And she's like, she's just mad. She's like, I don't want to pray. This is stupid. You pray if you want to, and you pray about it. I'm not going to pray. So she's like, I'll pray. And so she starts praying, and Corey's just mad. You know, she's like praying with her sister, but not really. She's just mad. You know, she's sitting there just angry about the whole situation, complaining. And Corrie begins praying, and she just starts thanking God. She's like, God, thank you that we're here. Thank you for these fleas. And when she says that, Corrie just like, I think she opens her eyes and looks at her. And she's just like, how could matter? Her sister's just like, how can you thank God for these fleas? You know, there's nothing to be thankful about with these fleas. And then months go on, and, you know, that's the story that happens. And months go on, and they realize in this concentration camp's a little bit different than the others. In this concentration camp, they're able to share the gospel with all these ladies. And at first, they were fighting amongst each other and everything in there, but they're able to begin sharing the gospel and have some Bible studies. And the only reason they were able to do it, it dawned on her at one point. The only reason they were able to do it was because the guards wouldn't go in there because of the fleas. Amen. But in everything, prayer and supplication, give thanks. Come to God thankful. Whatever the situation is, thank Him. And isn't that what we're celebrating right now? It's a month of thanks. We give thanksgiving for all that God has given to us. That's why we're here, is to be thankful. So even when we can't see the blessing, the good side of the situation, hey, we just have to trust God. We just have to have that faith in Him and just say, okay, God, thank you. I don't see what this is going to do. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't even like it, God. But thank you, because that's what your word tells me to do, and I'm just trusting you. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So God, I don't see it. I don't understand it, but thank you for whatever this is going to work. However this is going to work out, Lord, thank you. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God says, bring it to me. Tell me. You say, but doesn't God already know? Yes, but He wants a relationship with you.
God wants to hear from you. He wants you to talk to Him. He says, I want to know my child. I want you to know me. Come and bring your requests to me. Let them be made known and come to me thankfully. You can couple this right here that we're reading with Psalm 100. Go read Psalm 100. It's a great psalm about how to approach God. And it talks about coming to Him with singing. Amen. Why do you think we start our services off singing? Because we want to come to God the way He wants us to. I want to get on His good side. I want to praise Him and tell Him how great He is. Man, daughters are good at this. I'm just telling you right now, daughters are better at this than boys. Okay? Because they'll come to daddy and just be like, Daddy, you're so great. You're amazing, Dad. I love you so much. You're wonderful. And I'm like, what do you want?
Amen.
But it works. Even though I know they're doing it, it still works. I mean, it just works, but they just butter dad up, and that's what we're doing when we're praising God. And some people might say, that's irreverent. Hey, God's the one that told us to do it. Praise Him. Tell Him how great He is. He says, when you approach me, that's how I want you coming to me, just like that. Psalm 100. Look at it. And then He says something right here. He says, hey, be careful for nothing. He says, you're all worrying about things. You're worrying about everything. You're taking everything to heart. It's stressing you out. You don't know what to do. But then He says, when you come to me like that, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you let your request be made known unto me. He says, I'm going to give you something right here. And this is what we're looking for. And this is what the world's missing. The world's missing this right here in the peace of God. The peace of God. How come so many in this world are miserable? And why are they turning to a bottle and to pills and to all these other things and to hypnosis and to transcendental meditation and all these, this Eastern mysticism? Why are they turning to all these things and yoga and doing all this nonsense, trying to channel devils and everything else like that? Because they're trying to find peace in this life. And they're all looking at the wrong place. And you got Christians even going into this nonsense. And God says, why don't you just come to me? Be careful for nothing, but bring your request to me with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. And then I'll give you my peace and the peace of God. Not peace with God. If you're saved, you've already got peace with God. But He says, I'll give you the peace of God. I like the story was told. They asked a bunch of people, what is your definition of peace? And everyone says, oh, this peaceful, tranquil, just serenity. And they asked these artists, I think is what the story was, to paint a picture of peace. And so they all paint this beautiful picture, you know, like you see those pictures of the lakes where like the mountains are just reflected in the lake and it's just beautiful. And you know, that looks peaceful, doesn't it? And then so they go through like these three artists, and then finally one, it shows a picture that he drew, and it's just like this raging waterfall, just like, I mean, white waters and everything, and just, and then right in the middle of that waterfall, just there's a crack just through the waterfall. There's like a rock up at the top and a crack right through that waterfall. And there's just on a little perch, there's a little bird's nest right there. And though the storm rages, there's peace. And that's what God wants to give us, even though we're in the middle of a storm. And there's battles all around us. God says, I'll give you peace. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what God wants to give us. Any of you ever heard of Stonewall Jackson? Stonewall Jackson, he was a general in the Confederate Army. He got the name Stonewall because they said, because that he'd be out in the midst of battle. I mean, just cannons going off, firing right at him, and he'd just stand there like a stone, or he'd be on his horse like a stone, wouldn't even flinch. And they say the reason is because he had faith in God. He said, when God wants me to die, I'm going to die. And until that day, no one can kill me. And he stood there like a stone because he just had faith in God. God had given him a peace, the peace of God. And that's what we need, all of us. As we move forward in whatever battle we're facing right now, God says, bring it to me.
Amen.
Bring it to me and come with thanksgiving. Don't forget that. Don't leave that off. Don't leave off the thanksgiving. We have the prayer. That's asking, the supplication. That's on begging. But He says, don't forget the thanksgiving.
Amen.
Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done.